I've written on the board stewardship, teaching the why. Appreciate the hope of the gospel this morning. That's from my heart. I find the gospel, the more I become acquainted with the gospel, the more hope I have. Not less hope, more hope. The Word of God, the gospel message is not, it's not a gospel that's intended to be used as a hammer. It's not intended to beat us into submission. It's not intended to outline a way that is only possible for the very select few. But it is a hope that is extended to every single one of us here this morning. And it makes a way so that all of us can be saved. And I am so grateful today that I can have a testimony of salvation, not because of what I am able to do, but because of the grace of God. I have a message this morning that is just where we live. It's foundational. There is nothing profound about it. I do desire your attention and your prayers that the Lord would help us together a little bit of time we have this morning. I suppose one of the most commonly asked questions is, but why? Why do I have to go to bed right now? Why do I have to eat that? Why do I have to go to school? Why do I have to wear that? Why do I have to sit down? Why can't I talk? Why do I have to go to church? I remember when I was a boy, I was 5, 6, or 7. I remember a time period of life where I felt like I was asking my mom about every day, do we have, I think that's how I phrased it. I didn't say, do we have the opportunity to go to church or do we get to go to church? It was, do we have to go to church tonight? At that time period, we were going to church on Sunday. Prayer meeting was Tuesday nights. Bible study was Thursday nights. And then Sunday came back around pretty quick after that. And when you're this big, it felt like I was going to church about every night. And so every day I would ask my mom, do we have to go to church? But you know, as we get older and progress in life, the closer to the heart and closer to weightier matters of life, our questions become. Why shouldn't I marry them? Why shouldn't I be able to, why should I be different if my heart's right? Why shouldn't I be able to just follow my feelings? It's me. Why shouldn't I be able to do it if I don't see anything wrong with it? And there's all kinds of questions. Why should this practice of life apply to me? Maybe it applies to you. Why should it apply to me? And many other very good questions. We've been spending time on the subject of stewardship. And Lord willing, one of the areas that I feel inspired to get to eventually is stewardship of the gospel. And I feel like that this morning is a subset, if I could say it that way, of stewardship of the gospel. And this morning I feel inspired to just talk together for a little while about being good stewards of teaching the why. And so I'd like to think about that a little bit. And I'd like to start by rereading a verse that we spent a good bit of time on when we when we were talking about home culture. So I'd like to return to that in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6 and 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." So this is not a part-time thing. "Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all thy might. Give your life to this calling above everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness above everything else." And this is communicating the same thing in the Old Testament. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart," not just on the surface, not just with your lips, but in your heart. "And thou shalt teach them diligently," not just every once in a while or when it's convenient or when you have to, "but teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." This is, teach your children a truth so that it's front and center. It's important. It's given priority. "And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates." Teach thy children diligently. When we speak of family worship at home, and we speak of having personal devotions, why is that important? Is it just something that we can say, I had my devotions this morning, got that done. I'm supposed to do that as a Christian. I'm supposed to have my devotions, so I fit that in. I got that done. And family worship, getting together as a family and reading the Word of God and teaching the Bible stories and having prayer together as a family. And if you don't have children, having family devotions as a couple, do we just do that? That's what Christians are supposed to do, so I check it off. I did that. Or is there something behind it that's more important than that? Well, as part of teaching, having family devotions, personal devotions, is part of teaching as the book of Deuteronomy outlines here. And so, family devotions and personal devotions lie close to my heart, is a central focus point of the subject this morning. While Deuteronomy 6 instruction that we've just read is not always formal, because it talked about doing it when you're sitting, when you're lying down, when you're going in the way, it's you take opportunity in life to teach. Yes. In fact, most teaching happens not in formal settings, but often in more informal settings. However, there's a place for what I'll call more formal teaching. And that's included with what the commandment was given that we just read, setting aside dedicated space and time for understanding the Word of God. Those opportunities, when we gather in and spend time reading the Word of the Lord as a family, personally, and in church service, we've talked about the importance of worship service, coming together and having worship service. Those are prime opportunities to begin to teach not just the what, certainly the what, but also to teach the why. With that said, I'd like to consider, and you don't need to turn to these places in the Bible, but consider these verses also as a preface. Colossians 4 and 6 says, and these are all very personal verses, because it doesn't say let somebody else's speech be all way with grace, seasoned with salt. It says, let your speech, let your life, let your conversation, let the things that come out of your mouth, let it always be with grace, something that is beyond what you otherwise would have, seasoned with salt. The Lord wants us to have something that is part of our lives that has an effect that goes beyond what you're going to find without it. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says, study to show thyself. That wasn't a verse that's just for other people, but it's for all of us. You study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, we're all workmen, we're all disciples, that needeth not to be ashamed. We don't need to be ashamed of living the way that we live, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study so that we can understand what the gospel is teaching, so that we can live with assurance and confidence in Jesus Christ. This is right, and here is why it's right. And in the 6th chapter of Luke, in the 47th verse, somewhere in there, 47, 48, that is where it spoke of the wise man that Jesus said he did three things. First, this is the wise man that encountered storms in life. And so we're going to encounter storms in life. So if we're going to, I want to be wise about it. I don't want to be foolish about it. And so when he was talking about the wise man, he said the wise man came. He came to where the word of the Lord could be heard. But not only did he come, he heard. So it's more than just coming. Folks, it's more than just coming to church and saying, well, I went to church this morning. It's coming and then being in a place where you can hear and receive. So the scripture said he came and he heard, but that still wasn't good enough. It's not good enough just to come to hear and to have understanding and to leave, but he came, he heard, and he applied. He came, he heard, and he did. And it said that he digged deep and he laid his foundation on a rock. And when the storm arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house. Beat vehemently upon his house, upon his life, but he couldn't shake it because it said it was founded on a rock. All of these verses tie together, and family devotions are individual devotions that we have by ourselves are a key ingredient of accomplishing these exhortations. To the families, family worship, coming together and gathering in and sitting down, having some dedicated time where you don't have all of these other distractions. You set the distractions to the side. Come together as a family, and you talk together, and you read the word of the Lord. It is a wonderful, prime opportunity that the Lord can bless in such wonderful ways for questions to be asked, for children's thoughts and their reasonings, how they see things, how they are viewing life and what they're encountering, that those things can be heard so that collective, altogether, digging deep sometimes can take place with the purpose of rightly dividing and understanding the word of truth. And if you miss that opportunity, you're missing a tremendous opportunity. Because I'll tell you this, that if you don't do it, it's getting done other places outside of your house. Only it's not about the word of truth. It's about how to live in other ways, and its influences in other ways. And it happens formally and informally, and when people sit down and when they rise up and when they go on the way, and there's other things that are put as frontlets between their eyes and on the doorpost, and it gets into people's hearts. And that is guaranteed, that influence is guaranteed to be there. And so if it is, and it is, it's incumbent upon us as responsible stewards of the gospel to then also fulfill what the scripture here in Deuteronomy was talking about, where we sit down and we talk about these things so that we can gain understanding of what doth say the word of the Lord. To help prepare us, to help equip us. Sister Tanya was talking about people that would say things about Brother Michael after he passed that he helped them with that maybe he didn't know anything about. He impressed that word upon me, being equipped. Brother Michael talked about being equipped. You want to be equipped when you go out into the world. You want to be equipped with something that goes beyond what the world will equip you with outside of the Word of God. And family worship and coming together and talking together with each other. Family worship is not just for children. Family worship is for the adults. It's for the children. It's to equip us so that when we go out in life, we are better prepared to face the influences which are there and which are real and which will knock on your door of people influences, spirit influences, questions that come your way. And you've spent some time equipping so that you have an answer, both for yourself and for other people, that goes beyond. Someone says, "Hey, I noticed such and such about your life. Why did you do that?" Well, I mean, that's what my church teaches. Well, that's what my parents teach. Well, that's just how we've always done it. Well, it works. Where it goes beyond that, where we are able, by the help of God, to get into His Word, and as stewards of the Word, and as faithful parents and stewards of children, if God gives them into your care, that we take opportunity to help prepare them to understand some of the whys that go beyond just because. There comes a time, often more quickly than sometimes maybe we realize, when that answer of just because, when the question is asked, why? And as parents or as teachers or as a pastor, we say, well, just because, or that's just the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. That's how we've always done that. there comes a time pretty quickly when that answer, it doesn't meet the need of the heart. It doesn't meet the need of the life. Yes, a 2-year-old that says why, they don't need the same level, they don't require the same level of response as a 5 and a 7-year-old. And a 5 and a 7-year-old, they don't need, and they're often not ready for the same response that you might give a 12-year-old. And a 12-year-old is not going to probably get the same response as a 15-year-old, and et cetera. But there comes a time when it's counterproductive to tell an honest heart of a teenager that's seeking, or a young adult, or an adult, or those in the congregation, and give them the same answer that you would a 5-year-old. And say, when they ask, why do we do this? Why this? What about that? Say, well, it's just because. It doesn't build strong Christians. It doesn't help nurture growth at the heart level. It doesn't work here either. And just sharing my heart with you this morning, I don't want, as a pastor, to deliver to you opinions of mine that aren't based on the Word of God. I don't want to deliver to you opinions and thoughts that I have and deliver them as Word of God truth if it's not Word of God truth. I don't want to try to encourage you to just live a certain way because that's just the way you're supposed to live. When there is an absence of substance, then it can so easily result in a fallen house. And I don't want my house to fall. I don't want your house to fall. I feel a responsibility for my house, and I feel a responsibility for your house. And the scripture says to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I want you to feel a burden for my house. I don't want to be a weak Christian. I don't want you to be a weak Christian. I want us to be strong Christians. I don't want to try to make room so we can be compromised Christians and feel justified in how we're living. I have no interest. I have zero interest in seeing how close to the world I can get and still just feel justified in being saved. Zero. The best that I can tell you from my heart, I'm in the flesh like you are. Doesn't mean I'm never drawn to things that aren't right. But my burden for my life and for here as a pastor is that teaching and preaching is done in a way that results in you being a strong Christian for yourself, that has a relationship with God for yourself, that knows how to get in touch with God for yourself, that you can dig into the Word of the Lord and say, what doth say the Word of the Lord? And that you can be grounded on a rock that doesn't move, so that when the storm comes, you're not easily pushed off of it, because the diet of teaching that you get is surface. So pray for me. I feel a keen responsibility, and I can't do it on my own. I need help. I need to be an empty vessel where the Lord is able to work through me, and I feel inadequate, but I want to be responsible. I don't want to see us veer to the right and become fanatical in areas. I don't want our children to be taught those things because it seems like more of a spiritual thing to do. Just keep pushing the envelope outside of what the Bible teaches because it seems like a spiritual thing, but then we can't really explain why. I have no interest in that. And I have no interest in letting down Bible doctrine standard. I have interest in being at one with Jesus, making it to heaven. And I want you to make it to heaven too. I want to have a strong house. Now, in teaching it in the home and with your children, it doesn't mean that the children are going to understand what you teach them right off. It doesn't mean that if they don't have an understanding of the why, then it then therefore allows them the opportunity to live however they want to live in your home because you haven't explained why. That's not what that means. There is a place for a higher authority. There is a place in the home. Children, young people, when you're in the home with your mom and dad, they have a responsibility to govern the home that God has given to them. And you have been given to your parents for them to be a steward of in their home. And there's going to be times when you're not going to understand all the reasons why they make decisions that they make. And sometimes it's because they're not at liberty to tell you. Sometimes you're not in a place to hear it. Sometimes they know it's better not. Sometimes you're just not going to understand it. And there is a place to learn how to submit to a higher authority. And I believe it was God's intent that it was that way, because every single one of us need to be in a place where we live our lives where before God we submit to the authority of the Godhead, even if we don't always understand all of the whys. It's because He's God. And we learn that in the home. I believe God's intent is for us to learn that in the home as children. Honor your father and mother. Children, obey your parents. It didn't say children obey as long as you understand to your satisfaction. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. However, if we as parents don't ever explain and don't ever spend any quality time on the why of habits, practices of the home, ways of living at a time and way appropriate, because it changes as our children get older. What makes us think that our children are going to be equipped when they leave home? And now they have a home and they're having to make decisions. And mom and dad's not there to say, this is how we do it in our home. And they have to make decisions in their home. They have life and eternal consequences that are out in front of them. How are they going to be equipped? And how will we be able to say that we were good stewards of the gospel in this respect if we don't ever spend any time on the why of some of these things? And then have a house that stands when the storm comes, because the storm is going to come like it speaks of in Luke. And there was a foolish man that built his house on the sand, and the storm knocked his house down. And we have a responsibility to our children. We have a responsibility to each other. These Sunday school classrooms, children that are being taught here in the sanctuary, discussions that are held outside of the sanctuary, to try to do everything we can as disciples of Christ to help each other build on the rock and not on sand. And family worship is a wonderful time with our children to understand where their little hearts and their minds, and then they're not so little anymore, they start to be big hearts and big minds, big ideas, and they're asking questions. And it doesn't mean that the answers that we give them will always satisfy them, because they won't. Sometimes children in the home may feel like that mom and dad never tell me why. All they do is tell me what. And I've asked and I've asked, but they won't tell me why. And you have told them why. But sometimes they're not in a place to understand it completely, in fairness. Sometimes that's not the answer they wanted, and so since it wasn't the answer they wanted, then you still haven't told them why. And that happens, and it's going to happen. But even if your children don't always understand, the best that you try to do in explaining the whys of why we live, why your house is run like it's run, doesn't mean that the seed has not been sown. And those seeds that are sown in the home, when you're together having these discussions, those seeds grow. And the Lord knows when to send somebody to water them, to fertilize them, to help. So be faithful. Teach practical application. Teach where you live. Teach decision-making processes. Here's how to think about this. Here's how to get to a godly answer, a biblically supported answer. Because one of these days you're not going to be there to just say, do this, do that, do that. We want to equip our children so that when they get out, they've been taught a decision-making framework by which, by the help of the Holy Spirit, always, they can make good, sound decisions and live and build their lives on a rock. So important how truth is taught. Again, not used as a hammer, but it's used as an opportunity to share the keys of life. And I want to do it that way. I have just a few more minutes left. If I'm adopting a specific practice in my life in support of a Bible doctrine, it's so helpful to explain that at the right time when questions are asked. If the way that I live my life and personal standards, we talk about that a lot, And I take on personal standards, and I have my children do that too. And those are intended to be in support of a Bible doctrine that you can find in the Scriptures. It's so helpful to the child, to the teenager, teenager, children real young, probably not there yet, but eventually, it's important to understand and differentiate the two. If everything that I teach in my home, and if everything that I say, if I put everything into a Bible doctrine bucket, we do this as Bible doctrine. Well, you do that, you've got to be saved. That's Bible doctrine. And every personal standard, every way of living, all of the do's and do nots are elevated to the place of Bible doctrine, and we don't differentiate why we're doing certain things, it can cause confusion. It can cause avoidable inconsistencies. And it can dilute what God intended for the place that Bible doctrines hold. So instead of having Bible doctrines identified as Bible doctrines, what doth say the word of the Lord? God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. It's a Bible doctrine. God resisteth the proud. God doesn't want us to be proud, to have pride, to follow after those things in life. And so then, that's a Bible doctrine. But then if I take every other thing that goes along with that, what I own, what I don't own, what I do, what I don't do, what I wear, what I don't wear, and all of those things that may be in support of a Bible doctrine of not being proud, but I put them all as the same, I'm not preparing my children. And I wouldn't be faithful to prepare you as a congregation or support what you're finding yourself in the Scriptures to be able to understand, why do I live like I live? Why do I do this? Because the reality is, in our lives, we have all kinds of buckets in our lives. Things we do, things we don't do, the way we think, the way we don't think, what we give, what we don't give. There's all these buckets of things. But if I take everything in these buckets and I don't identify them as such, and I just say, well, it's all Bible doctrine, and then somebody comes along and says, boy, that's a Bible doctrine. Where does the Bible say that? Well, you're just supposed to do that. It's just because. We are going to take away from what God intended to be a beacon of light for us to follow after, because I have filled this with the entire alphabet, and I don't hold up the things that are intended to be guiding lights. And it's so much, it helps strengthen our walk so much if I can say, son, this is how we do this practice in the house, and this is what how we're living our life here. And here's what we're doing over here. And the reason that we do these things is because the Bible teaches us this. And we are doing what we're in, trying to be a servant of the Lord and make sure that this applies to our life. And then invite the children and invite you as a congregation to get before God to ask Him, Lord, how would you have me live my life? Lord, why do I do what I do? What is it in support of? Because if I don't do this, there is a risk that when I look at all of these things that are in this bucket, I can lose sight of what that guiding light was supposed to be, and I can start putting as much and more emphasis on things that were supposed to be down here in support of this. But this becomes something I start to worship. And I neglect and completely miss that that was supposed to be in support of this. But now I don't even have sight of this anymore. This is what's all important, and this is where my salvation is. And that is not where our salvation is. Our salvation comes from here. I don't want to teach again. I don't want to teach the congregation. I don't want to teach my children things that, as biblically given by God, that are not in the Bible. And I don't want to miss teaching, fail to teach those things that are here in the Scriptures for us to be edified by. I want to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. I want to let my life and my conversation to be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that I may know how to answer every man. I want to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed how I live, because I know that what I'm doing, I'm trying to please my Father. And I can explain the reason why that I'm doing what I'm doing. And I want to dig deep. I don't want to just be a surface teacher. I don't want to be a surface preacher. We want to get a hold of the Holy Spirit so that we can have a house that's built on a rock. Lord, help us. Give us understanding of these things. Let's not let the opportunity, the window of opportunity to have family devotions, to have personal devotions, to study for ourselves so that we know for our own selves why I'm teaching my children what I'm teaching them. I want to know as a pastor, why do I preach what I'm preaching? Where is it? Is it according to the Spirit and the Word of God? And if we'll live our lives this way and apply ourselves, the Lord will be faithful to us and we will find a life that consists of assurance and peace and rest and power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Pray for me. I want to be true and I want to be faithful to my family. And I want to be faithful to you as a congregation. Pray for me. Amen.